Welcome to the Draw.Biz Podcast, your weekly dose of fantasy footy content.
Hello and welcome to another episode of the Draft Doctors. I'm your host, Stevie Fears. Somehow I've transitioned into the host, which is random as hell. And we're welcoming the former host, Jonathan Crockett. What's going on, man?
Not much. Just gotten back from the Western Bulldogs and St Kilda AFLW game. First game back in Moorabbin, I think 20 or 30 years. Packed house and very good. Just sitting on the hill, smashing a few cans and watching the doggies get up there. So looking forward to some more games there.
That's a huge, huge result there for the women's doggies team as they march towards another, whatever they do.
Flag.
Enjoy your beers.
They've won the flag, so they'll win another one.
Okay, there you go. Good times. And, of course, this is a keepers show. We've got a bit of something for everyone. If you're in an established keepers league, we've got some buy, sell, holds. If you're in a startup keeper league, we've got this great man's top 20 startup keeper rankings. I'm talking about, of course, the former third place finisher in AFL Fantasy Classic, the Statesman.
Great to be back and fresh sounding crew together for this pod. Real keepers in my eyes.
Yeah, and look, it's great to be rid of the new guys. Actually, we were talking about how fun it was, me and Jono doing the old school shows with the Supercoach shows, which, strangely enough, didn't rate particularly highly. But anyway, we digress. And yeah, we're going to start it off. We're talking keepers today. It's a massive show. We know everyone loves their keeper leagues. So we're going to talk some buy, sell, holds for existing keeper leagues as people are heading into their cut periods. They're looking to start their drafts. And obviously with all the positions finally released, especially with Ultimate Footy, the great keeper platform it is, people will be looking to make the moves. Statesman, why don't you kick us off with a buy?
Yes, and a hot take buy too. It's Ollie Wines, only 25 years of age, so plenty of time to own in a keeper, but let's face facts. He's been a little bit down over the past few years, well, certainly since his banner year in 2016, where he averaged 100.6 from 22 games. In 2017, he dropped to 99.8. In 2018, 22 games at 93.4. So the owners would have been a fair bit disappointed with that. And of course, last year, he decided to go water skiing for a little period and only play 12 games for 93.3. This preseason, he's already damaged his shoulder. The other shoulder, mind you. So that's another setback. So my thinking here is that owners since 2016 would be pretty fed up with Ollie Wines. So therefore, if you float a decent offer, maybe an aging mid or a positionally challenged DPP, then you might just get him in your team as a real bargain.
So, Stato, Ollie Wines has been one of your boys for a few years now. We know he's a points per minute beast. It's got to be hard to see him really breaking into that elite category, but of course there's always the chance that he actually moves clubs in the coming off season.
Yeah, absolutely. So there's a fair bit of talk in the off season that was going to happen, and part of the reason why they stripped the captaincy from him, and obviously rumours that is. In saying that, I've always been hot on him purely because in his early part of his career, what you mentioned before, points per minute. What we haven't seen him is ever go past playing 42 minutes game time, basically 42, in a season.
42 minutes?
Game time, yeah. That's basically about it for him, unfortunately. It's just an exaggeration, Steve, of course. But the reality is he's actually got a great fantasy game. Now, whether he gets the tank or whether he actually just ends up being a quality M3, M4 for you, who knows? But someone that can lock away that M3 position, that's solid as a rock, and the potential, if it all clicks for him, to actually have a 110 season, that's worthwhile to have. And to get him why owners are a little bit narky at him, you might just get him cheaper than you think.
Yeah, and that makes sense. I think a lot of these buyers are probably going to be players who maybe the fantasy community is a fraction down on at the minute. Ollie yep. Wines, you're probably going to have to eat a few missed games early in the year. But if you're in a position to do that, probably going to get him at a better value than you've ever had in the past. Jono, Who have you got for us in the buy category?
Yeah, speaking of low games, that is Cam Ellis-Yolman. He has gone to the Brisbane Lions after getting limited game time there at the Adelaide Crows for 4 years. But when we've seen Cam Ellis-Yolman play, he's actually been a decent scorer from his limited opportunities. Had the 88 AFL fantasy scoring this year from his 10 games. That included 3 tons and one up in the 134. So he's shown he's got the ceiling. And now that he's at Brisbane, he's actually training with the A-team midfield group. So it's himself, Lachie Neale, and Jared Lyons as the first op midfielders. So he's obviously going to get some opportunity there at Brisbane. More game time, more minutes. So obviously pushing Zorko out. And the way he builds his scores, it's pretty good. It's slightly favours the handballs a little bit more, but if you can get that back up to a more even kick-handball ratio, and 5.5 tackles a game is pretty good. So at the moment, people aren't really thinking about Cam Ellis-Yolman, but there's something you can throw him out for maybe a young potential, perhaps, to get him in as that M5 to M7 range. It's definitely worth a punt.
Yeah, look, Jono, it's an interesting one. He's obviously changed clubs. Always look at those situations as maybe he's the first in, first out sort of guy. We know what sort of role he's going to get, so he will score when he plays. But, geez, it's hard to trust him being a lockdown best 22 player.
Yeah, I struggle with this one just a little bit, only because I'm worried about the wide range of outcomes. So I think he's a punt, but if you get him for the right price, then he's someone that you can actually sort of probably have on the bench, and right timing, right matchup, he could go big.
Yeah, absolutely. He seems like one of those guys. My buy is Sean Darcy, and just the fantasy community is so down on Sean Darcy compared to where we were. Say 2 or 3 years ago, he was being spoken about with Brody Grundy as the next great keeper ruckman. Obviously, Sanderballs hung around far longer than anyone thought he would. But even as we speak right now, Sanderlands is retired. Right now on the mock draft simulator, there are 15 rucks being drafted in front of Sean Darcy in AFL Fantasy. He is tied for the 16th ruck off the board with Toby Nankervis. They have the same ADP. But to me, that's the stink is real. We forget so much. He turned up in his second match. Even last year in a three-way ruck share, he still managed to score 80s and 90s. The Hogan situation, I think it really plays into things. If Lobb was going to spend a good chunk of time pinch hitting in the ruck, that has to go down with Hogan off the field. They're going to need Rory Lobb inside the forward 50. So if you're believing the press and the reports about Jesse Hogan, that can only play into how good the pickup Sean Darcy is. And at the minute, there's so many really good ruck situations out there. He's just been pushed down the board. He's so young still, really just about to enter his prime as a ruckman. And I really think he's just such a great buy at the minute. Like maybe in the redraft leagues, that's you know, he's down the board. But I still think the fantasy community is a bit down on Sean Darcy as to what his output's going to be going forward.
If your ADP was based on fake Twitter accounts, he would be probably top 10.
It's a good account.
It is.
It is.
Yeah, I rate him and have for a while, but I've just been waiting for the opportunity. So the two things really is his tank and the opportunity. I think the opportunity is there now, and very quickly we'll see whether he's been building that tank. Started off very well. I think Doss was a little bit safe on him just with regards to the percentage of his score that were hit-outs. But I think that is a little bit based around the tank again. I think he actually can get the footy around the ground, but needs to be mobile enough to do it.
Yeah, we don't like those high percentage of scores being hit out base. But, hey, look, if you're the number one ruck, you're probably going to score pretty well. Stato, why don't we kick us off with the sells? Who are you selling in a keeper?
Yeah, someone that scored very well last year in Basher Hooley. And I'm sure there'll be players within your league that are already thinking that they're favourites to win the flag. Generally, his name is Stato. These coaches love to top up just before the season. So if you have that little trade period before the season starts, they love to top up. So In defence, he will be the second highest rated. So you actually see that it will be ranked generally on what their averages were the previous year. Well, Bashahuli is D number two. So he averaged a career high 103.2 last year and had a pretty sweet role. There will be some people that talk about Jaden Short. Well, he scored 128 in the grand final and 114 in the grand final, both with Jaden Short in the team. Plum role, plum opportunity, sitting high on the leaderboard. He's not going to be around for a long time, so it's definitely a sell to someone that is in the hunt for the premiership that year. You could easily turn into a M3 or M4 and a first-round draft pick, or even a future star like Connor Rosé. Perfect sell-high candidates and potential win-win trade.
I think one thing that gets lost about Bashahuli is we all see him as an outside player, but he was fantastic on the intercept last year for Richmond. But, you know, you've got to be honest, he's coming to the end.
Yep.
Do you know when he takes on Basher?
Yeah, well, look, being a big fan of him, and also one of those guys who I think also will drop out in points as well, just depending. I think they're going to push Jaden Short this year with Basher being so old. And he's been one of those players that hasn't played a lot of 22-game seasons. He's either been suspended or an injury here and there, so he's missed chunks of seasons through those two things.
Yeah, fair
That's point. Why you've got to sell him high.
Yep.
Yeah, he'll never be higher, that's for sure. John, who you got for us, man?
So I'm selling JPK. This guy's been an absolute bull for the Swans. He's 32 years old coming into 2020, so coming towards the end of the career. Like what Stato said, you're going to be pushing this to either you, Steve, who like the old boys, or someone who's pushing for a flag. He's still averaging 100, and there's no other roles for him there, so he's just going to play at his career in the guts there. You'd probably sell him for something decent still, maybe an up-and-coming young player like Stato said, Connor Rosé, something like that. Might be able to gamble on something else. Maybe, depending on who you are. If it's Doss, no problem. You could sweeten that deal, or Paddy Dow or something like that. But, yeah, I'm looking to sell JPK. If he's if I'm not in the hunt and rebuilding my list and push him off to someone to win that flag.
Don't know if I'd buy, to be honest.
How many years do you think he's got? Two at best?
Yeah, probably. I understand why you would look to offload him. I just don't know what you get back. I actually think he's someone you get picks for your top up.
Oh, yeah.
Which is not a bad thing, because if you get two of the so if you get Young from Frio in your defensive line in a keeper, that's a fair turnaround. That's going to be a tick in the box.
Mm.
Yeah, there's a big difference between the D2 and M25, I guess. Let's say he's an M3 at best. Yeah, there's a big difference between, say, the overall D2, is, you know what I mean?
Yeah, sorry.
Oh, he's a good sell, though. My sell is Luke Shuey. So he averaged the ton in 2019, which was his best ever AFL fantasy average. Obviously, the Eagles brought in Tim Kelly. He turns 30 during this season. If you're in Western Australia and you're playing a Western Australia league with some Eagles fans, he's a big name. You might get some big value there. I'm not looking for huge value, right? I think that's kind of sane to say that. Like, he's not like a JPK or a Bashahuli, but he's someone I'd be looking to move during the year. Is he someone like Luke Shuey approaches 30, coming off his career year? I just think it's a smart move.
I would honestly say this, that I seriously looked at either having Tim Kelly or Luke Shuey as my sell candidate. And I'm glad Cam's not here, because we would spend the next 25 minutes arguing how good Tim Kelly is. But it is a case, I don't think Tim Kelly's going to get higher than he is right now in the views of fantasy coaches. And I think the same for Luke Shuey. Good call.
What you get back is going to be debatable, but obviously you can push for him, and it's going to be different in some different leagues. And now probably the most interesting, I would say, section, the holds. Players, you're not shipping off. Players, you're not buying cheap. Players, maybe you have to keep cheap. Or like maybe if they've had a down year, but you think there's still some value there. The holds, Stato, who you got?
Brandon Ellis.
Oh,
interesting. Yeah.
Now, mid only in 2020. Now, this is the main reason why you need to hold, because what are you going to get for him? You're not going to get half JBK's left foot. That's the reality. People will not want to trade and bring him in. And although we've got to face facts, in 2014, 2015 were years that were absolutely fantastic in scoring. He's hardly been relevant since. You're not going to be offered a good trade, and if you try to sell him. While most owners would be happy to offload him, but they'll want too much of a higher price because we're talking someone that's turned up before. The fact is, at a new club, he might, and I stress, might return to a role that can produce the 95 to 103 averages that he's made previously, making him very worthwhile, not only in your team as probably a M3, but also great trade value down the track. For smaller keeper lists that may delist keep less than 10 players, it might be hard to keep him, but for 12 or more, I actually think he's worthwhile to keep. And here's a question for you, because it is a thought process I'm going through. Which one of these mids, as an expected M5 or possibly M6, as it currently stands, would you keep? Viney or Ellis?
Oh, Viney? We'll talk about this in a second, mate.
Right! Do you want to go straight on to yours then, Steve, seeing we already know the cat's out of the bag?
Yeah, look, my hold is Jack Viney.
Right.
So, yeah, look, he's only 25 years old. He's just played, I know, and he's got a lot of stink on him with the injury history, but foot issues, I think that's something we've seen players get over, and once they get over them, they're corrected. He's played the 21 games last year. Hopefully, that's a good sign going forward. He's had the good pre-season. He's been a consistent 90-plus average. We did have the 100-plus year. That was obviously pre-Clayton Oliver, so I'm not expecting those sort of numbers again. But you know what his role is going to be. He's not going anywhere but the inside midfield. So I'm really happy to keep Jack Viney.
All right. So I have both in the Draft Doctors Keeper League. And one of these two is actually going to be my M6. Which one would you two gentlemen take?
Jack Viney.
I like Jack Viney, but I reckon Brandon Ellis is probably a good keep for the years thereafter. So it's probably, you know what I mean? Like, I think Brandon Ellis is one of those guys who you always hope has defender status.
Yeah, I think what's held him back over the last 3 years is what his roles had to be in the new Richmond. So the old Richmond that we used to enjoy laughing at, he was a really good scorer. As soon as they come competitive, he actually had to play a role that took away from him showing his strengths.
This is my big problem, right, with Brandon Ellis. Like, because I like Brandon Ellis, he's fine and all that. He's going from a good team to a pretty bad team and a pretty bad ball-using team. So either he's going to scuffle because they're not going to be able to retain possession and that sort of thing, or he's going to actually be their target to get the ball too, which he becomes a tag target. Like, they tagged Braden Fiorini last year, for Christ's sake. Like, I don't understand where he goes.
He used to score really well in a really bad team. So remember Richmond used to rock up to the season opener and we'd go, how much are they going to lose by this year?
Yeah, but they had good inside players back in the day. Like, they could win the ball and get it out to him.
Yeah.
They had a Brownlow medalist, for fuck's sake. Like, you know what I mean? Like, they had good, like, they weren't Gold Coast.
They weren't Gold Coast. But what about Fiorini?
Yeah. R.I.P. Oh, I don't know. I can understand that these are fringy players who you're either holding or gutting. I'm pretty assured of Jack Viney's role in what looks to be a reasonable team. Brandon Ellis, I would want him to have defender status, otherwise. And I mean, they could average pretty similar. Like, realistically, it's going to be a tackle the difference, probably.
Here's the real difference. He's a sell candidate if he's still got defender status moving into a new club as a midfield role.
Well, this is the problem. He's not going to have it this year, is he? He'll have it...
But that's what changes him from being a hold to a sell.
Yeah, but you're holding someone for 12 months who... meh.
May or may not.
I think they've both got great potential and they're not the worst 12th player you're going to have on your list.
Once Hanley and Harbrow... How is Harbrow still playing? Honestly.
47 years old. Same with Hanley. Like,
wasn't he captain of your team for about 3 years?
Yeah, but he scored well. I love Harbrow. He's a gun. He's a gun, man. But he's old.
He's old.
John, bring some sense into this conversation. Who are you holding?
Sustato's boy. It is Brandon Partiff of the Cats. Look, this is a guy who's entering his fourth year of footy. Averages just under the 80 mark. Has the forward status. And there's an interesting dynamic there at the Cats with the whole midfield group. You've got Joel Selwood, who's about 90 years old and coming close to the end. Danger's 29 and getting older. They have recruited Jack Stephen, who's, again, 29 years old.
I was going to say young.
Yeah, so in the next year or two, or a couple of years, these guys are going to be out of that midfield group, and people's going to have to take that role, and that's where Partiff will come into it. He's 22 years old. He has been getting that mid-time there at the Cats, and when he has gotten that mid-time, we have seen he's been able to score. He's knocked out tons before, so the score is there. He gets his kicks, his handballs, his tackles. I'd be holding on to him and wait for that pop to come, and he's certainly one you can hold. Maybe he's going to have that forward status for the next 2 or 3 years as well, so certainly you'd be keeping on to Brandon Partiff.
Yeah, I like it.
Yeah, so do I, but I have a couple of questions about the Cats midfield at the moment, and I just want to see how it plays out, because every time someone starts discussing their midfield options and talk about the up-and-coming, it seems to be a long list.
It is a very long list, but yeah, again, it is. That's why I'm holding. I would just want to see that dynamic play out, because, again, in 12 months' time, it's not going to cost you anything. You can cut him or sell him when it comes to the crunch, but this could be a year he pops and he's got the forward status.
No doubt, and he showed us 2 years ago. Yeah, absolutely. And he'd done similar things, got limited opportunities, a couple of games where they had a few injuries. I think this is about 2 or 3 years ago. And they gave him a game in the midfield and smacked 130 out without blinking an eyelid. So he's got great potential.
Against the Hawks, I remember it. Yeah.
I think he's going to play wing and he'll lose that forward status after this year. But
yeah,
he's a good player, so, you know, that's fine. Of course, everything's happening. It's draft season. We all know that. The draft kit is out on the website at thedraftdoctors.com.au. Please go and purchase that if you're looking for some great reading material for when you're scrolling through your phone on the dunny. And, of course, the mock draft site is up. And, look, the rankings are on the website over at thedraftdoctors.com.au. And the mock site, what better way to prepare for your draft? We know people have been smashing it. There was over 20,000 drafts done on it last year. It's only getting bigger this year. So please head over to the mock simulator. You can link it up through the website, which we've just mentioned. So get out there, smash some drafts out, have a bit of fun practicing them. Pretty addictive, Jono. I was doing a draft the other day preparing for our home league draft where I'm absolutely going to pants everyone again. Picked up Whitfield and then Cornelio. Couldn't have been happier. Wow. Then got Laird in round 3.
Whoa. Who are you playing with?
Laird's a third round pick, man. It's happening.
I was going to say, did you have Doss and Cam in that draft or something?
Well, we saw Cam's draft online on the weekend. I think there was about 60 mids before a defender got taken, but they were drafting it.
Well, he got Doherty at pick 12, so...
How many Geelong mids did he pick?
I don't know.
Oh, sorry. He actually has a tag because it's actually Geelong or ex-Geelong.
Yeah, that's right. It's a shocker.
Pretty much.
What is going on with that, man? Strange things. Anyway, moving forward with the show, we're going to get to, if you're in a startup keeper league, everyone wants to know, they're starting their keeper league. Keeper league's becoming more and more popular. You want to get your draft right first. And it's the age-old question, do I draft to win right now? Do I draft to win in the future? Do I draft to balance? Stato, you're the keeper expert in this crew. Why don't you break it down for us if you're in a startup keeper league?
I reckon the best plan is you pick the best possible starting team. So if you've got 18 on the field, then you should try and draft the best 18 you can. I always say when you've got the view of keepers, then you should try and slant it towards picking whatever number keepers. So let's use an example. You have 18 on the field and 12 keepers. You pick 12 keepers first. That way they're locked away, and that way it gives you total flexibility to take the best possible players, no matter what age they are, no matter what circumstance there is, because you've got your keepers locked away. So I always have a theory that you always start picking the best players. The highest scoring midfield should be number one or number two or number three, depending on what DPP or ruck situation you've got. But then as it goes along, so you start getting to your second tier and your third tier, if you've got two players that you're basically ranked in the same tier, go the younger one because they're going to give you the scoring. And it might be a difference of 2 or 3 years. So I'll just give you a little bit of example. When I just compared some data with Cam, and he picked Dangerfield to be his number 8 player overall. But at 29, I would suggest around that mark, if you've got Zach Merritt and Dangerfield around the same mark, go with the Zach Merritt who's 24 rather than the Dangerfield who's 29. So what I'll do is quickly go through a rough guide of who I've got in the top 20 for a startup keeper. Number one, no surprise, Brody Grundy, only 25 years of age, ruck. You've just got to go him, lock away. He's got a 7-year contract. Number two, I've got Jack McRae, again, 25 years of age. He's your number one mid that you're going to pick up in AFL Fantasy Scoring Model. Number three, Lockie Whitfield. Now, you have to be mindful, is he going to be a forward for a long period of time? Yes, for the short term, it's very good. But the reality is, and I think you guys would probably agree, he's a midfielder.
Yeah.
Yep.
I always think he could get defender status back, believe it or not.
Yeah, he could. He could. Yeah. But if you're going to plan forward with something like that, plan that he's going to be a mid. Everything else that comes should be a bonus.
Yes.
Moving on to number four, this is where someone jumps up a little bit. Josh Dunkley's got to number four because he's 23 years of age, so he gets ahead of someone like a Treloar in a restart league, might actually get to that third or fourth position. Clayton Oliver at number five, again 22. Then Treloar comes in at six. So you're not ignoring Treloar, but if you've got the choice between an Oliver and Treloar, go the one that's 5 years younger. Makes sense so far? It's just 50-50 call. Go the one that's younger. Then you've got Cornelio, 26. Tom Mitchell at 26. Now, in reality, I think Tom Mitchell's a top threeer here. I think that's fair, but I've got the little niggle in my head of how long or how complicated is that broken leg going to be. We've seen some never come back from it perfectly well, and then we've seen people like Voss and Fife who have come back reasonably fine. So it's just a bit of a balance here. Again, at 26, you just go a 50-50 call. If you've got a doubt in your head, go the other that you're secure with. Zach Merritt at 9, Paddy Cripps at 10, Tim Taranto at 11, and he's only at 22. He's only that far down purely and simply because of that midfield mix at GWS. You're just not totally assured that he's going to have that inside role all the time, but I think it's likely, more than likely. Number 12, Matty Crouch, 13, Bontempelli. 14, Jake Lloyd. Lockie Neal at 15. Rory Laird at 16. Same age as Lloydie, both at 26. 17, Josh Kelly. Now, scoring potential, very high. Injury history, a concern. That's why he drops a little bit, even though he's only 25. 18, Dustin Martin. He only gets in the top 20 because he's currently got forward status, and there could be an opportunity that he's a top three forward for the next 2 or 3 years. Max Gawn at 19. And just pipping Gaff, Dangerfield, Heaney and Warple is Sam Walsh at number 20.
Yeah, I was going to ask you where you had Sam Walsh. I think it's going to be a popular question.
Yeah, it's sort of one that in a startup keeper, I wouldn't mind too much not getting him because he might go too early than probably he deserves to be. Yes, as a breakout year, superb, but Reece Palmer had his best year, year one too.
Now, he had it. Sam Walsh is Reece Palmer. I look forward to seeing the shoe-throwing incident down at the
What I mean by that is we've never seen a first year like that. But what we don't know is if he's going to be confirmed gun that's going to be 110+. All indications are that he is at the moment on very early sighting, but it's not a confirmed. He might be a really good 105 player.
And that's good.
Yep, absolutely. But that's why, even though the signs are very good, I wouldn't go be putting him in front of McRae, in front of Dunkley, in front of Oliver, in front of Treloar, who actually have been there, so shown us they can actually do it.
So, Jono, just before you jump in, I want to pick up on one thing because I've seen this bandied about quite a lot this preseason in particular, and that's where people say Josh Kelly's injury prone, and you've got him in at 17, which... it's not unfair, let's say that. But you've got Cornelio at 7. How can you say Josh Kelly gets a drop because of the injuries, yet Cornelio, who's missed quite a lot of games as well, is comfortably in your top 10?
One's soft tissue, the other one's not soft tissue.
So you can't manage that, is that?
No, it's soft tissue. So let's talk about DIDs. So just never missed a game, was absolutely perfect. As soon as the soft tissue started to happen, it was the start of him being unreliable. So this is just me. As soon as I start seeing soft tissues as a regular thing, not as a one-off, because everyone can have a one-off, that's when I get a bit concerned. That's just a personal thing.
Well, Jack McRae's had two soft tissue injuries.
Yep.
Treloar did both his hamstrings the year before last.
He did. Together.
So, I think.
But does that come down to a club management thing where we see clubs have poor management in terms of soft tissues? I mean, we saw it with Collingwood maybe 2 or 3 years ago where they were having soft tissues every 5 minutes, and then they've seemed to have gotten over them. But I think GWS are in that bracket now where plenty of the players are getting soft tissues and they just don't know how to rectify it.
Yeah, I heard someone else say that, you know, they span 5-6 years and Cornelio actually miss more games than Kelly, but whether that's recency biased or whatever the case may be, yeah, I feel more secure with Cornelio. I could be proven wrong.
I just think you're giving up great value, that's all.
Yep, absolutely.
I guess it's pick your poison. Jono, you got any takes on status top 20?
No, I like it. Can I have them all in my 10, please?
Yeah, same here.
I think it's really...
except for Kelly. I'm not a big fan.
Of Kelly?
Yeah, I'm off Kelly.
Fuck, you know guys that. Are such haters.
Yeah. I reckon he's just a beautiful player to watch. I mean, there's not many better smooth movers. There's no doubts about that. And he can rack it up. There's no doubts about that. I'm just not convinced that... So if I was playing against GWS, he'd be the first person I'd tag. The second one would be Whitfield.
Yeah, I reckon I'd tag Whitfield first. Either way, they're both gun players. That's
they are. They're both rightly in the top 20.
Matt Crouch over Josh Kelly.
Yep.
Wash your mouth out with soap.
Yep.
Make it Harvest Lane.
Oh, how's this? We went to I'm off brand tonight, actually. I'm on the It's like Shadow Creek or something. $13 for 4 liters. So I'm not even on point. It's all over the shop. I couldn't believe 75 cents per liter more. Just getting jacked. Where do you guys... I think an interesting one is Rowan Marshall. And he was the pride of Portland. He was riding the wheel bag for me as a buy candidate, because the stink's going to be on Rowan Marshall this year because of the Paddy Ryder situation. But Paddy Ryder surely has nothing left in the tank. Like, there can't be much going forward. Is Rowan Marshall someone you look to trade for during the year?
If he's not performing as what people would expect him to be, then he'd be a perfect buy candidate.
I actually went the other way. I looked at him as maybe a sale or a sell candidate. Hot year. If they're bringing in Paddy, does that sort of say what they actually think of him, and they're bringing someone else younger while Paddy's there? I've got a funny feeling they like Marshall up forward. That's me at the moment. Whether I'm right or wrong, only time will tell. And maybe that's just for the interim while the young gun, the twin, is getting prepared.
Well, they actually tried him down back when he first got there, believe it or not. So new coaching staff, you know, who knows?
I will say that in the top 20, Cam had actually done his in a redraft format. So I did it in a keeper, and he had Josh Kelly at 19 in a redraft.
He's a queen. You can't. It's Cam. Are you using Cam as an argument?
He had Cam.
He just drafted the second week of February at 8 a.m.
He had Cam Ellis-Yolman higher than him. He had George Hall and Smith higher than him, and Cockatoo higher than him. So there you go.
Cockatoo's only way is up. That is, there's no doubt about that. We're going to transition into the questions. We've got a lot of listener questions this week. We know they want to pick the great man's brains, and everyone wants to talk keepers. So we're going to start it off with Russ. He says, my keeper league is transitioning from 30-man list with 8 waiver wire picks to 35 with 3. Does this diminish the value of first or second year players that haven't established a best 22 spot?
No. Your list is still 35. 38. So your depth and your balance is exactly the same from 30 and 8 to 35 and 3. I don't think it diminishes those talented ones that aren't secured of a 22 position yet.
Golden asked, best option for keepers from the 2019 draft? We got a lot of questions about Matt Rowell up at the Gold Coast, Young, Anderson, Sarong contenders, maybe Young as he'll have the back status.
Yeah, I think it all depends on your balance of your list, to be honest. If you're really thin on defenders, then you should definitely be going Young as a priority. If your midfield's ageing, go Rao. So it actually is linked to what your squad is. So you should always think of being a list manager, and you actually want to have a good defence, good midfield, serviceable ruck department. And who were the premiership ruckmen over the last couple of years? Sean Grigg?
Scotty Lysette.
Yeah. So, and then a quality forward line. So you should look through that list and go, I'm a list manager. I've got Zorko in my midfield along with a couple other blokes, Shuey and co, that are getting on a bit. That's when you need to pick up your rows, etc. So try and review it, not who's actually the best, but who best fits your list.
There we have it. Dinah White, what's the right amount of drops for his league? We run a dynasty league, obviously very deep there, and 2021 will be the first year with mandatory drops, and they're having 3 drops.
Isn't it? This is when you actually just go and recruit a George Hall and Smith off the waiver wire, isn't it?
Well, I think
just so you got the privilege.
Yeah, so I think their delisted players and all that will go back into the pool. But if they're making drops, I actually think they're creating interest in the draft. That can't be a bad thing.
Agree. I think that just adds another dimension to the list management piece. I love it. complicate it as much as you can. It's just more fun.
I've actually heard of leagues that where they nominate a few players they can put up for draft to be dropped, and then it's sort of like a lucky dip vote system who gets dropped. And you know what? You might go, that's not serious. That's not list building. But you know what? If it adds an element of fun to the league, fun's good. Yeah. That's why we
play. And don't have to do the same thing of what other leagues do as well. So if your mates are really keen and they want to make it complicated and more fun, then do it that way and enjoy it. Our draft nights are some of the best nights you ever have.
Yeah, absolutely. AJS asks, he's in a 12-team, 13-keeper league. Is Rao the best player option with pick one, or take the established player that I like?
So you keep 13 for 12 teams.
156 deep.
Yeah, it's about balance and who's available, to be fair. But once you get to that mark, you're starting to get very close to actually look at taking a Rao or a Young in the first pick. You've got to see who's available, but if it's a Viney, do you take a Rao or a Viney? And I think it depends on what your list needs.
Interesting. King Kong Donkey asks, what round does Rao go in an established keeper? 30-man squad, super coach formats, keep 8.
Established keeper, 30-man squad, keep 8. I would suggest that you're looking at first to third round. I dare say someone will jump on him early, rated very high through the national championship. So I dare say he'll go early, but you're going to have to wear him on the field if you do.
It only takes one person to make that selection. James asks, is Perryman worth holding in a 10-team, 20-keeper in ultimate footy? Now he's got defender status.
In ultimate footy with defender status, I think he's quite worthwhile to keep.
Henry asks, does he keep Boak or Darling in a keep 8 league? Now, there's a couple of dimensions here. As well as one of the above, he'll be keeping 2 defenders and 5 midfielders, and the league runs through Supercoach Classic. So Boak's 120k extra is a factor.
And Supercoach and old blokes, I think that's in your realm. Do you know?
Yeah, I really like Darling this year. But also now this Ollie Wines' situation, Boak's interesting. Jono, what do you think? You're a big Darling truther.
I am a big Darling truther. And look, what was that bit about saving the cash? It just broke up a little bit, that's all.
So they used the money from the salary format to determine how much they can spend by the looks of things. So Boak's an extra 120 grand. So I'd say Darling's good value.
Get the value.
And he doesn't have any forward keepers as well. He's got 5 midfielders already.
Yeah, now take the forward. As we say here on the Draft Doctors, he's going to kick it in the dick.
When did we start saying that? Yeah, I think I started saying
that's
that
gonna
last
be a thing.
Week.
Yep.
Yeah. All right, well, that's it for the questions. We thank everyone for submitting them. It makes the show fun, and we're always stoked to hear what you guys got to say. Please hit up the website. We've got a new writer, Michael Berard. He wrote a fantastic piece about the consistency rankings, about where players are finishing on a weekly basis, how consistent they are. It absolutely, as Jono would say, kicked Callum Mills in the dick, not in a good way, in a really, really negative way. We got the forwards.
2-time premiership player.
Yeah, look, you know, Marty Pike won like 4. So, so we got some great articles coming up. More articles, obviously, it's pre-season. So hit up the mock draft website, hit up the draft kit, and certainly get on the website where all the rankings are there for free. They're free.
And downloadable.
Downloadable. My God. What year is this? 2014? We're here. Thank you. We'll see you next week when we're doing a mock draft review on the show.